Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
My boy ATM Jerry Taylor likes to say, it's that time again. It's Saturday, June 16th, 2012, and it's Mr. FSP, and I'm doing what I do because I do it for you always and forever. I'll be around. I'm not going to sing because I don't want to hurt no people's ears.
Thank you.
Whatever, dude. But on today's show, as you can tell by the title, Sandusky, OTAs, NBA Finals, Mayweather in jail, and the U.S. Open. Today, we promise to bring you information in the week of sports and talk fantasy football, of course. It's about that time. Fantasy baseball, because Jerry thinks he's done it. But we're going to talk about a trade we made and how it's working out so far. As well as NBA Finals, I have some compelling information about Jerry Sandusky's trial. ATM said he hasn't been following it too much, but there's some stuff that came out that just totally swayed me. But again, the defense hasn't had its chance, but we'll talk about that. Also, the NCAA, the football side, has decided to go ahead and do a Final Four. We're going to talk about that, see what Jerry thinks about that. Floyd Mayweather Jr. you don't want to be called Junior, but Floyd complaining that he can't exercise, not eating right, and
punking out.
Well, we're going to talk about that too.
Punking out.
And you know how he's supposedly not going to be able to come back after coming out of jail for 90 days.
Stop.
90 days.
Stop.
And box. I mean, that's a ludicrous. Just ludicrous. That's Mike Tyson, ludicrous type of statement his lawyers were making on his part.
Speaking of Mike
Tyson.
Going
to talk about, go ahead.
Speaking of Mike Tyson, you heard about Mike Tyson singing, right, about LeBron?
No, I did not. What did he say?
No, I'm talking about on Jimmy Kimmel. Mike Tyson sang a song about LeBron. Maybe I'll get the clip and I'll play it tomorrow. If you Google Mike Tyson on Jimmy Kimmel, you probably will get something of a clip. Mike Tyson sang a song, it was horrible, about LeBron on Jimmy Kimmel.
Now, was it a good song or was it a bad song? And I know he sings horribly,
well,
but was it a good song or a bad song about him?
Well, let me put it this way. It didn't make a difference whether it was good or bad. It was Mike Tyson trying to sing, so it was horrible.
Well, you know that's part of his act in Vegas, but it is what it is. I had not known about that, but we'll talk. I mean, if you have information, we'll share it. Also, we're going to talk about the U.S. Open and Tiger's on the prowl. I'm not sure if it's, you know, a facade or not. We'll talk about that. We'll hear from Tiger as well. Also, anything and everything between we're going to talk about. For the next two Saturdays, me, your host, will not be here.
Right.
ATM's going to take over. We're going to work something out on the last Saturday of the month. Not sure how we're going to do it, but we'll see what happens. But just letting you guys know, starting in July, Fantasy Sports and Politics will be breaking down the AFC West and AFC North. That's the first Saturday in July. So stick around for that. We've also got a lot of great stuff on tap. So, ATM, I think I want to start with, Sandusky is a pretty hot topic, but you said you're not too familiar with it.
That's all right. Wherever you want to talk about, I can flow with it. No problem. I'm sitting in front of a PC.
We'll do this. We'll go with Floyd first, since you called him a punk, said he was punking out.
Talk
to me about Money Mayweather. I mean, I read the article. I posted several articles on my Facebook timeline about Floyd and how he's complaining that he can't get his exercise and stuff like that. I mean, it's funny how other inmates can find time to work out in their cell, especially when he's in a cell by himself. They don't have to worry about nobody else and not being able to do anything. Talk to me.
Come on, man. You know what the deal is here. This is a ploy to try to wield his celebrity, celebrity, and appeal to the judge, trying to get out early. He just got in a week or so ago, and now he's trying to say that he can't eat, that they're not feeding him right, he can't get his exercise. Come on, Floyd. You claim to be this tough fighter that take on the world. You sitting in jail, isolated, basically, because of who you are. And you can't take a little jail time saying it's just a health issue, which you should have thought about that when you laid your hands on your wife, for one. And there's guys in there that put more time than you are. And you punking out saying, you know, if you saw the article on Yahoo, you saw the picture with him and 50 Cent. He's looking like he's trying to punk out, looking like he's frail.
Oh, no. Jerry, that was a picture of him going in. That wasn't during. That was a picture of him going in.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, well, let me put it this way. Look at the look on his face. Like, to me, it looks like he's terrified for one. Looking like he's a little frail and afraid for another. 50 Cent, who's been in jail before, looks more confident than Floyd Mayweather. And Floyd Mayweather is supposed to be the baddest boxer on the planet. Hello? You can't deal with a little jail time? Especially when you basically aren't around any inmates. You're all by yourself.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to get to, that in the article, the chief deputy or sheriff or something like that of the county facility said, for the protection of Mayweather, they've isolated him because they are opportunists in prison. Either they want their 5 minutes of fame to pick a fight with him so they can say he injured him and sue him, or they want to just test their might and see, you know, look, I'm bigger than him, you know, he might be fast, but let me get him in a corner or something. And it's like he's trying to separate himself from the inmates by saying he's not getting fed properly. They're only allowed to give 2,800 calories a day. And I know what that's like. It's pretty filling, but he might not like the food. You know.
Well, quite sure. He's used to eating the best food and probably has some nutrition, so he's got a specific diet. Well,
of course. Of course. I mean, he's gotten to the point where people are seeing, you know, that he only pled what he pled so they can get in, do a little bit of time. Here's probably how it went. We're going to role play here.
Mm-hmm.
You play Floyd. I'm going to play the district attorney, okay?
No problem.
So Floyd says, okay, I'm going to turn myself in. So we're going to go from there, okay?
Okay. I'm going to turn myself in. Okay, I admit what I did. What can you offer me?
Now, look, Floyd, I mean, I know you can make a lot of money for the state of Nevada, you know, boxing, and hockey is a good fight and everything, but look at here. Well, here's what I can do, all right? You turn yourself in. You get a reduced sentence, a little jail time, 90 days, you can do that. And maybe after a couple weeks, 3-4 weeks, we see what we can do about moving. I mean, I'm not making no guarantees, but we'll see what we can do.
Well, okay. The only thing I'm concerned about is I don't want to deal with anybody. I know it's jail time, I really don't have a choice. But you know who I am, and you know that things are going to happen if I'm in with the general population. What can you guarantee me?
Now listen, Floyd. Listen, I understand your concern. I hear you. I understand them. I can't get you a suite at the Hilton.
Not expecting
that. Like that. But what I can do is I can make sure that, you know, no one bothers you, and you do your time, you're in, you're out, and everything's kosher, and just as long as you do good and keep your nose clean, won't be any problems. So, again, I can't guarantee you much other than the fact that we'll put you in a place where nobody can bother you, and you can do what you can pay your debt to society.
Well, I don't have a problem with that. I think I can do – well, I can do 90 days. It's not a I don't think it's going to be a problem. Just as long as I don't have to deal with anybody other than the guards, that shouldn't be a problem.
Okay.
Where do I sign at?
All right. You sign right here, and can you sign this boxing glove for me? I appreciate that.
Sure, no problem. No problem.
And see, that's pretty much what happened. I can guarantee you. Where they said, okay, look, you do a little bit of time, and you get in, you get out, and you're gone. And I really think that the system actually got them in the fact that you said, well, I'm gonna turn myself in, and I'm gonna do a couple weeks, whatever, and then I'll do a little house arrest, so I can still do what I want to do and have some fun, and you know, and train, and da 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 da. But the bottom line is, he's now a convicted, I'm not going to call him a felon because it wasn't a felony what he did, but he's a person that has gone to prison, serving out his time, and for the most part, complaining about his accommodations and his ability to do things. Look, he's an athlete. We got it. He's a celebrity. We got it. But at the same time, if you start showing extra special privileges to an individual just because of their celebrity status. I mean, is O.J. getting the same type of treatment? I don't think so. And O.J.'s a bigger star than him, you know, but O.J. also allegedly but was acquitted of killing two people, you know. But it's like, okay, you get 1 hour on the yard, and you can do push-ups, sit-ups, and dips and stuff in your room. I mean, that's what I see. I don't see a real issue here, Floyd, and his people are making it one.
Well, I'm reading the article, and the first, the second paragraph, let me put it this way. The first paragraph says he's got low quality of food and water, and they say that's threatening his health. Now, the second paragraph in it says that he's been afforded water, or water has been made available 24/7. Which is probably something that's, I don't know, if
extra special.
Yeah, extra special. And the only reason he isn't eating properly is because he refuses to eat the food that they give him. Well, they're not going to make special meals for Floyd Mayweather, which he's accustomed to. He's
unless
deal-
he's a vegan, unless he's a vegan or a vegetarian. Those are the only types of circumstances where they don't give you what everybody else gets.
Well, like I said, he's given food. He just don't like the food. Well, that's on him. And they said physical training areas and times provided may not be consistent with his prior regimen, but he's provided sufficient space and time for physical activity if he chooses. So this is the deal here. He gets in the jail. 10 days after he gets in the jail, he starts complaining and tries to pull a fast one with the district attorney and saying that all these things aren't taking place in jail and that he's being mistreated, or basically he's suffering health-wise from being in jail, when in fact he's trying to, in my opinion, punk out and say, you know, even though I agreed to this, I didn't agree to because I didn't know exactly how jail was. I may be tough in the ring, but I ain't that damn tough. I may be.
So it's an act. His persona is an act outside of the ring. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Just like a few rappers that have said they're straight from the hood when they're straight from middle class families. This is the same. This is the same type of persona I'm seeing Floyd Mayweather. I'm straight from the hood. I'm tough. No one can beat me. I'm on top of the world. But when the real deal hits you in the face, you punk out. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's punking right the heck on out. I lost a lot of respect for Mayweather trying to pull this. Come on, man. Come on, Floyd. Come on, man.
I don't think Floyd listening, but we got Black in the chat room along with the sales professional in there as well. So I know Black might have something to say about it when we come up. But bottom line is this. I've never been to prison in my life. I don't plan to go to prison. Don't ever want to go to a prison. I went to visit. I can recall one time visiting my father in prison. I mean, it is what it is, but I know I'm not built for that type of environment, so I'm not going to put myself in a situation to be put in that environment. You dig what I'm saying? I mean, if you can't do the time or pay the penalty, don't do the stupid thing to get you put in there. You know, and it's not his wife. It's the mother of his three kids. His long-term or long-time girlfriend, whatever you want to call her, that he decided to beat up and he threatened one of his boys. Now, I don't know what he said to his kid, but I say a lot of stuff to my kids. So it is what it is. I mean, one, I'm not a big fan of beating up a female or anything like that. Now, I will say I'll choke one. I'll choke you so you leave me alone.
Oh, No.
I'll make sure you ain't going to mess with me no more. But the bottom line is I don't believe in that type of thing, because if you can do that to a female, I got you're a 145-pound monster in the ring. But let's see that 145-pounder go up against a 225-pounder with about the same speed but hits a lot harder. That's the equivalent of him beating up on his girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, and Black says, in honor of Tupac's birthday, Floyd is a woman.
Let me put it this way. Regardless of what a woman does to you, short of pointing a gun at you, I do not approve of this message of putting your hands on a woman.
Hey, look, dude. Now, when Lorena Bobbitt cut off Mr. John Bobbitt, you got to swing on that. You got to swing. Now, that's not pointing a gun at you, but that's cutting off your man.
Well, if you cut off your man, I'd rather worry about getting my manhood back versus trying to swing on her.
What I'm saying is you laying down, and all of a sudden you think you're getting something, and next thing you know it's clip, clip. My first reaction is pop, then I'm grabbing and keeping it moving, because I'm like, what in the world?
I don't approve of that message. I don't approve of that message. Never have. Never will.
No. All right, Sprite, 7-Up. It is what it is. We got a call from the 240 on the line. Call from 240. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Politics. Please state your name.
I love Floyd Mayweather.
Lord.
Okay.
It's my cousin. And he probably agree with Floyd.
I probably agree with Floyd. Look,
I don't know.
Slim.
You want him out? You want him
out?
Come on, Slim. He punked out.
Stop the hate. He's better than Pacquiao.
Wait a minute.
He's a better fighter than Pacquiao. Just say it.
This has nothing to do with his boxing skills. This has to do with his manhood.
No. This is Victor's show. It has everything to do with it, dude. That's how you roll. Slim, I'm your family member. I know you from the inside. I know what you about. I know how your mind works, Slim.
I'm just talking about what's relevant. The man
I'm just talking about what's relevant about Floyd. Really?
I'm the one saying he punked out here. I'm the one saying the one he's in jail for 10 days.
Is he a better fighter than Pacquiao?
That has nothing to do with it.
Is he a better fighter than Pacquiao?
In my opinion,
yes, he is.
In my opinion, yes, he is. But that has nothing to do with what he's been trying to pull in 10 days in jail that he agreed to go to, and he's trying to punk out saying he's not being treated fairly when he's being treated like every other inmate. In fact, they're going beyond that, giving him a separate cell because of his celebrity status. But because he's not getting his meals like he wants them cooked, like he's not getting his exercise like he's used to, he's claiming physical trauma to himself, a mental trauma to himself.
He's talking about retiring.
Come on, man. He's
talking about him retiring.
10 days in jail when he's supposed to do 90 and he's punking out like this. Come on, Floyd. I like you as a boxer, but you're punking out, man.
All right, now check this out, Mike. Black says, in honor of Tupac's birthday, Floyd is a woman. Now, I'm not.
Listen, Mike,
what I'm saying is this.
I don't care what's
going on. I'm going to tell you. Now, since you brought up Pac, I'm going to go there. But that wasn't my intent when I brought the subject matter up.
But you're not fighting it, Vic. But you're not fighting it, Vic.
No. I am fighting it. But since he went there, I'm going to go there. Since he went there, I'm going to go there. Because I had no plan. I was actually about to move to Sandusky or golf. But since he brought it up, I'm going to go there. All right, here's the deal.
Yeah.
To answer your question, okay, based upon what I saw Manny Pacquiao do with Bradley, which I say he beat Bradley. He beat Bradley in a points game. And the referee saw it a different way, whatever the case may be. But.
Not the referee.
No, the judges. I'm sorry, the judges. Mm-hmm. The judges saw it a different way. But if that were Floyd Mayweather, I saw Pacquiao losing the fight because the shots that he hit Bradley with, he would have got hit with him, but Bradley only did 1, 2, 3, and then moved. Mayweather would have hit 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and moved. He would have hit him more times off of the counters than Bradley did, in my opinion. But that has nothing to do with the fact that he's in prison and he's complaining about his conditions and he's trying to get out after 10 days. That has nothing to do with it at all. I mean, honestly, after seeing a fighter similar to Mayweather fight Pacquiao, I would say Mayweather would beat him. I don't think Mayweather would knock him out. I think Mayweather would beat him, but that has nothing to do with this subject matter. But I wanted to answer your question since you posed it. Now, what do you think about his complaints and his issues about his prison time and that he's not getting treated fairly?
He need to sit down and ride it out. But it's to be expected, you know what I mean? It's to be expected. You get in there, you don't know. He don't know. He don't know what that life is like. You know what I mean? He don't know what that shit is about. I mean, when I got locked up, man, I was in that motherfucker. I was in that joint.
And when did you get locked up? We need to talk about this off the air.
I got locked up. One for your aunt. Coming down that jump, coming to get me out of good state of VA, Slim. It'd have been all over. But nah, I mean, he don't know, man. He in there tripping.
Okay.
He need to sit back and ride that out. I'm not gonna sit here and call him a woman and all this other kind of crap. Man, he just don't know. He was young. He was stupid. He getting his medicine. He need to sit down and take it. But I'm not going to see and call him all a bunch of names and all that kind of carrying on.
I didn't call him a woman. That was black. But I will say this. And I said it earlier. If you're going to step in that arena, you need to be prepared to deal with the issues that come along with it. Not just the fame and glory.
But see, Vic, it's easy to sit there and pontificate and say that. But I'm going to tell you, women will take you there. condoning that stuff. I'm not saying it's all right. It's not. But don't sit here and tell me that a woman won't take you there.
I didn't say a woman won't take you there. What I'm saying is, though, let's move away from just the female spousal stuff. I'm talking about in general, in life.
Did.
If you do something dumb, right, and
you got to pay the price for it.
Correct, and you have to be prepared. If you're going to go to jail, you go to jail. If you're going to run, you're going to run.
That's too broad of a statement. What I'm saying to you is this. You could get your mind wrapped around going and doing whatever you got to do, but sometimes when you get up in there and try to do it,
mm-hmm.
it could trip you out. I mean, it's kind of like hitting a rookie wall. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing I'm worried about. You know, my quarterback RG3. You know, I want to see him play and whatnot. And then after, you know, he does well. I want to see how he does when he goes up against the rookie wall. And you know, I want to see Cam development on that. It's similar to that. When you definitely have to pay the cost to do the thing, you know, when you do the things that you do. But it's different when you're doing it. It's different.
Okay.
It's different.
Well, you know, I think that whatever Mayweather is going to do, he needs to do this prison time, okay, come out and revisit his way of celebrating or his extravagant lifestyle, throwing money in the air, just carrying thousands or
millions of
dollars.
What does that have to do? Hold on. What does that have to do with what he got locked up for?
I'm about to explain.
Yeah, I really want to hear this.
I do too, Vic. Go ahead.
Oh, my gosh. Because when you're flamboyant like that, you attract a certain type of person. And if this woman...
Oh, come on.
Can I finish?
Go ahead, finish. I want to hear this.
So if this is the woman that's going to be in his life for the rest of his life because of his kids or whatever, he needs to look at, okay, well, look, I don't put my hands on this woman once, she don't press charge. If I do something stupid again, I'm going to go to jail. And this time it's going to be longer than 90 days. It's going to be something a lot more severe. So I have to reevaluate how I handle myself and the things that I do. Yeah, I like to run. I like to train. I like to hit the weights. I like to go to the gym, da-da-da-da-da. But when I'm not doing that, is it going to be a smart thing to walk around and go to a strip club and throw money in the air at these women and whatnot, knowing there's a lot of people going to be trying to wrestle around for that money, not just the girls? You know, do I want to make it rain, like he says sometimes? You know, do I want to do this, that, and the third? I got to think about my actions and the reaction to my actions before I do something stupid.
Well,
He's 34, 35. He's at that point where, like Michael said, he's a businessman. Is it good for business for him to be so flamboyant and act so
See, now
idiotic?
We get to the crux of what...
Well,
see,
no,
and this is what I'm talking... Jerry, this
yeah.
is what I'm talking about. You hear it, right?
Yeah, I heard him.
You hear it, right?
That's what I'm talking about. Yep.
That's
He's
exactly what I'm talking about. The thing with Floyd, right, with this woman, whatever they had going on, it's between them, and he need to work that stuff out in his head,
okay.
so he don't
okay.
end up in jail again. But as far as him being flamboyant and throwing money up in the air and doing that, guess what, Vic? He paid the cost to do that. He's paid his dues to do that.
Okay, I understand that. But you attract a certain element when you do that.
Wait a minute, let me get him.
He is surrounded in that type of lifestyle.
Exactly.
I mean, he's on the top of boxing.
Got
he's
it.
On the top of boxing.
Okay.
And he's beat them. He's beat them in the ring and in business. He's beat them.
Okay.
What type of other element are you talking about? I mean, because they all in there.
Floyd.
I'm talking about this.
Floyd, it's in his genes. Floyd is going to be Floyd regardless before or after this, Floyd, he doesn't know any other way. This is the way Floyd is.
Wait a minute.
Let me finish.
No, go ahead. I'm letting you finish.
Regardless of what happens in jail, as long as he comes out there in one piece and sane, Floyd is not going to change his ways, because the fact is that is his persona. That's the way he carries himself. I think you just don't like his flamboyant ways.
If I had the money, I would do something similar to what he does, but I have the brain power to say, you know what? Maybe I need to dial it back a little bit.
Vic, understand what I'm saying here. Floyd has been doing this for years. The only reason he's in jail is the fact is what he did with his woman. Otherwise, he would not be in jail, and he still would be doing the same thing regardless of this jail time.
I still
believe when he comes out here, Floyd is still going to be Floyd, because he loves throwing who he is and how he is in people's faces. That's a moneymaker.
I got you, Jerry, but my point is you got to this point already doing that. You're worth $32 million a fight. I got that. We've already established that. But at the same time, we have to understand that he's 32, 33, something like that. He's not going to be the same at 34. He should not. Let me say that. He should not be the same at 40, 45, 46, because he still has little kids that's going to grow up and see the way he is and be like, my daddy was this way. Why can't I be this way? Da-da-da-da-da. He has to – the mentality of it is we all have to mature. Men and women have to mature at some point. And my point in saying this is I think this is or should be the point that Floyd Mayweather decides to mature and say, look, you know what? I can still sell a fight. I'm still the best fighter in the world, but I gotta throw it in everybody's face. Let me go in the ring, make my $32-40 million a fight, knock everybody out or win whatever, however it is, and still go out, rival Golden Boy and make my own promotion company.
You're missing the point. Let me tell you something. Look at his daddy. Look at his uncle. It's in his genes. He is not going to change his ways because that's the only way he knows.
But it can happen. It only takes one person to break a cycle. It takes one person to break a cycle.
Okay.
I broke a cycle in my life.
Okay.
In my life, I broke a cycle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not like it's impossible. It's just the fact that are you mature enough to understand what's in front of you? Hold on.
What cycle are you talking about for him? Which cycle are you talking about?
For him,
because
the flamboyancy, the arrogance that is not going to stop.
That's not going to stop.
It's not going to stop.
Somebody has to humble him. And what I'm saying is I think this jail time, this little 90 days, should be what the thing that humbles him.
I totally disagree with you. I think that his arrogance and his airs, that's all on him.
Right.
What I do think needs to check him is how he deals with this relationship with the mother of his child. That's the most principal thing. That is why he's there. But as far as, you know, him being arrogant and throwing the money around, he has been that way from the first time he stepped into the ring. Going into Mexico with sombreros, you know what I'm saying, not beating the dudes and all that kind of carrying on. They've always been that way. And he's going to continue to be that way. I would expect nothing less. But the one thing I'll say about Floyd that's different from his father and his uncle, he's given back way more than they have. Way more than they have.
At some point in this man's life, he has to decide, and this is just my opinion, when to turn off this faucet and let that side that we just talked about, the charitable side, be the more flamboyant side of his life, meaning that should be the thing that stands out when you talk about Floyd Mayweather, as opposed to the Floyd Mayweather talking and throwing money and placing bets. That's the side that we need to talk about, the charitable things that he does, giving back to the community, da-da-da-da-da. That gets swept under the rug because of the idiotic stuff that he does. That's what
No, that stuff gets thrown under the rug because media pundits want to talk more about the negative stuff that he does.
I got
right.
it.
But they want to talk about.
But if he's
because,
not doing
because
the negative,
of the fact that they're jealous.
But
and,
if he's not doing
and,
the negative.
And because Floyd doesn't fit into the mold they want him to fit in. And that's,
exactly.
that's the whole deal.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Okay. We spent like 30-something minutes on Floyd. I mean, I can tell right now this is not going to turn out the way I want it. But it's okay because that's why we have a debate on the show. It's okay.
You hear him, Jerry, though.
Yeah.
You hear
oh,
him.
Yeah, I hear him. I hear him.
You hear
all
him.
I'm saying, all
I
I'm saying
do,
is
I can't
this.
Do nothing but love him. I can't
all
do nothing but
all
love
all
him.
All I can say is that the gentleman needs, in my opinion, to mature more. And if he matured more, we wouldn't have to be dealing with this dumb circus of he's trying to get out because he's not getting fed right and stuff like that. I mean, he has to realize it's a government-run facility, and it's not I'm going to have a filet mignon today, and tomorrow I'm going to have me a tilapia. No, it's going you're going to get goulash today, goulash tomorrow, and you're going to go to sleep when I tell you to go to sleep. I mean,
well,
that's what he has to realize.
And you like that, and you like saying that about him.
I didn't say that. I didn't say I liked it.
And the same thing about it is he is not – I mean, he's a boxer, so in my opinion, he should be able to deal with this because he put that persona up. He should be able to deal with it, not 10 days try to finagle
yeah.
his way out of it. But,
yeah.
but he is not the only celebrity that has pulled a stunt like this trying to get out of jail.
Thank
early.
You. Thank you. Thank you.
But right now, that's
he's
what we're talking about.
What?
Wait, he's the one we're talking about. So – we're going to move on.
So you didn't
See?
Like that.
See?
You didn't like that.
See?
Whatever.
See?
We're about to talk about another man who isn't a celebrity, but his ass deserved to go to jail. And I'm talking about Jerry Sandusky. If you didn't know, Mr. Sandusky, he went on trial starting this week, and nine young men gave damning testimony. I mean, seriously, damning testimony about things that took place during their times with Sandusky at his house and in the Penn State locker rooms and showers and facilities. And even to the point where one individual had the police set up a sting operation on Sandusky. I don't know how many people knew about this, but here's Jim Avila talking about the sting that was set up on Mr. Sandusky some time ago.
A final disturbing revelation. Sandusky, prosecutors say, could have been stopped more than a decade ago. A 25-year-old man who, during his alleged encounter with a former football coach, remembers his mentor calling himself the Tickle Monster. It was deep inside the Penn State showers, the boy 13 then. Sandusky, he says, bear-hugging him, saying, "I'm going to squeeze your guts out." The boy tells his mom immediately, and police set up a sting. Sandusky and mom in one room, police listening in another. The officer tells the jury he heard Sandusky say, "I wish I could ask for forgiveness. I know I won't get it from you. I wish I were dead." Police consider it a confession and tell the district attorney charges warranted, but nothing is filed, and according to prosecutors, six more boys are abused before Sandusky is finally arrested in 2011. Jim Avila, ABC News, Washington.
So you have that situation where they actually set up a sting operation on this cat. I mean, it's crazy. Now, Sandusky's defense begins this upcoming Monday. And here's Jim Katursky, Mr. Katursky, on how Sandusky's defense should proceed. I'm going to talk about his defense when I come back.
Defense attorney suggested there's a chance the jury would hear from Sandusky.
To use a football analogy, a Hail Mary pass, when there's this much evidence and the victims are sympathetic, you know, you wouldn't put the defendant on the stand.
In this case, though, Michael Scotto, a lawyer here in New York, says Sandusky needs to overcome the powerful testimony of eight accusers.
People don't come in and lie about something as sensitive and personal as being the victim of sexual abuse.
The defense says the alleged victims have financial motives. We're told prosecutors are confident after they presented their case. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
Now, here's the deal. I don't know if you guys have read the post I put up on my timeline on Facebook, but there were the defendants, or excuse me, the witnesses for prosecution went up once on the stand, and the lawyer, now I know he's doing his job, but to me he's a dirtbag because he's trying to get these kids to sound like they're lying. The lawyer for Zandusky, his line of questioning on two of the witnesses backfired on what he was trying to do because he seemed lost and he didn't have an answer to the questions that he was asking the witnesses. And the witnesses were very cold and very harsh when delivering their testimony towards Zandusky. But the gist of it was that the defense attorneys were lost when they were cross-examining these men. Now, my point in bringing this up is there's a lot of crap that goes on in the world. And, you know, one person, I posted a story about this billionaire from Texas who got 111 years for his part in a scam where he got $7 billion over the course of several years, and he, you know, did this over the Americas and in Europe. And I said, you know what, this guy needs to just get life in prison, no chance for parole. Why just give him 111 years? I mean, that's redundant and dumb. He's not going to be able to do that. And one guy put up there, why don't we just give him an electric chair and get it over with and save taxpayers money? And this brought up an issue with me because I don't really believe in the death penalty, but at the same time, you know, sometimes I can understand in the fit of rage you do this, but when you do stuff like that, you know, I don't want to be the person that kills this guy because I'm going to have to deal with God. Whether the law told me I can kill him or I killed him out of a fit of rage, God doesn't discriminate on how you killed somebody. You still killed somebody. With Jerry Zandusky, if all this stuff is true, and I have to say that if, and I believe it is, but if all this stuff is true, I say give this guy life. Don't give him any injections or gas chamber. Give him life and put him in the worst penitentiary known in America for sodomy. Let him be the little guy in the shower with the big guys, and let him see how he likes it. Because if this stuff is true, I mean, and he's admitted that, you know, he's done some things and he regrets doing them and he wishes he could take them back. But the fact he kept doing them is a sign of sickness. And I hope he doesn't get, like, some type of insanity or mentally unstable type of judgment. Now, daggone sure hope he doesn't get innocent of all 59 charges. But I just want to get your guys' thoughts. I know you haven't been following it much, but what do you think? Because Penn State, they didn't follow up on it. Neither did the prosecution when the sheriff thought that they should do something with them and some other people. What do you guys think?
Well, I think there was a bunch of facilitators in this since the last time they did a sting operation, and they know that he was like this. I'm surprised that the officials didn't disown him immediately, along with the head coach of Penn State at the time. And a lot more wasn't made of this. It probably was a short blurb somewhere, maybe covered for a short time, and then it was probably ceremoniously swept under the rug when it shouldn't have been. As to relating to this guy and what should be done with, I mean, you put him in jail and throw away the key. I don't believe in capital punishment. I have never have, but if you put him away, then you've gotten rid of the problem, and no one will ever see him, or he won't ever see the light of day out of jail.
Okay. All right, Mike.
This is a circus.
This is a
serious circus. I mean, really? We got to go through 59 counts and, you know, go through all the different testimonies of the different people to come forward and like that? and they keep parading the whole, you know, everything that he did. Everything that he did. You know, the thing of it for me is it doesn't take a rocket scientist to lock this guy up. But what increasingly I'm seeing that it's going to take some type of rocket scientist for us to really get to the real crux of the problem, and that's the whomever or whatever entity that was that covered this thing, that has covered this up for so many years,
right,
for Penn State. And I'm really getting sick of watching this nonsense, you know, the back and forth about this, that, and the third. Lock him up and let's get to the real issue. But no, that's not what's going to happen. They're going to parade this out. You're going to hear more and more people coming forward, just like I said to you guys last year, you know, and it's just going to get more and more in-depth about Sandusky, when Sandusky is just a pawn, for real.
Yeah, we had talked about this before, that there's got to be, for as much as he's done, there's got to be some type of network that was under the wire or under the cover
protecting
of whatever.
Him. Right. They was protecting him.
Exactly.
They've been protecting him. Because this dude is an idiot. This dude's an idiot. Come on, man. You go on Bob Costas. Come on, man. My son know better than to call Bob Costas and talk to him.
Right.
Come on, man. Really?
It don't even make any sense. Say that.
Huh?
I mean, he admitted on Bob Costas that he did some stuff, and then the lawyer had to jump in on him and say, well, no, he didn't mean it like that.
Yeah, but why would you call in the Bob Costas anyway?
Well,
he's stupid. No. He's stupid. Nobody that's been able to cover up all this type of stuff would do something like that. That's my point. You know what I mean? There's something or somebody that has been protecting the whole Penn State, and I'm getting real sick of just hearing about the whole Sandusky thing. We haven't talked about it on our show since back in November or December for that particular reason, because I'm sick of it. It's a circus, and I refuse to participate in it.
Okay. Well, I mean, you have your right to your opinion. I mean, hey, it is what it is. But again, I just feel as though that Sandusky, there are many, many people in the world like Sandusky. And the problem is we don't go after them all, especially if it's a male, a young male, and an adult female. In the eyes of a lot of people, you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, we'll prosecute her. But it's not going to be that big of a deal. I mean, yeah, she was the hot teacher, and she banged like three or four guys. But, you know,
I disagree with you. I mean, I think they had stings in where they didn't, you know, do anything. Those people's hands was tied. Why
right.
were their hands tied? You know what I'm saying? You know, there's been prosecutors coming that came up dead, went missing for years. They ain't even found the body. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. I'm not going for that. I'm not buying that. I mean, yeah, we need to. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist, like I said, to lock this dude up and throw away the key. But what it is going to take a rocket scientist to figure out, how in the hell did it keep getting swept up under the rug? Over and over and over again. It wasn't oversight. I'm not going for that. This Penn State is too big. They brought in too much money for them to just turn a blind eye on just an oversight. Come on, really? Mm-mm. Not feeling
All
that,
right.
Slim.
I
not
got
feeling
it.
That.
I got it. All right. Well, no. I agree with you 110% that Penn State needs to be held accountable as well, but We'll get to that when that comes, because when everything's fleshed out, I'm quite sure Penn State will be thrown under the bus, and everything they did will come out.
Well, in my opinion, there's a very powerful network of people like Jerry Sandusky that
know how to manipulate the system to stay undercover. And Jerry Sandusky happens to be the person out there right now taking a hit for this
for a bunch of folks.
I truly believe that. With the probably the threat of losing his life, of not saying anything, Jerry Sandusky is going to put up a facade of a fight, knowing that more than likely he's going to go to jail for a long, long time. But that beats the alternative.
It does. Because some of those guys will be protected, some of them won't be, but we'll see what happens.
And very powerful people. You get best to believe, and I believe this, there's some very powerful people that have some very devious ways about themselves.
I agree.
And the ones And the ones that's being protected, you're not going to hear about.
Right.
But the more and more we hear about Sandusky, the more and more that this trial takes place, and the more it becomes more of a circus, you're not going to hear it. And then, right after they get him and lock him up, you're not going to hear no more.
Exactly.
That's going to be it.
Yep.
Of course not. I mean, if he's going to be the fall guy for a bigger scandal, of course they're going to let him take it and fall on the sword and then try to restore the Penn State name. I got that. Joe Pa has already passed away, and they're trying to change the legacy. I mean, they're trying to change the culture up there and pretty much diminish the legacy of Joe Pa. So I get it. Trust me, I get it. I understand. But let's move on to Tiger Woods, y'all. Tiger's tied at the top of the U.S. Open leaderboard right now. And I think he's looking pretty good out in the San Francisco area in the U.S. Open at Olympia. And here's Tiger on his stats thus far.
Well, two best swings I've made all week, I end up in just terrible spots. You know, I flagged it there at 6 today. It was a beautiful little soft forearm from about 2:30. Took something off of it and held it up against the wind. It was right at it, and then hops left. If it goes in a bunker, it's an easy up and down, if not holding it. All of a sudden, I got no lie and struggling to make bogey.
So Tiger's describing what his day two was like, where he started out, I believe, 3 under, and he ended up 1 under. And it was a three-way tie for the lead right now, going to 3. My question to you guys is this. Tiger has shown glimpses of returning to his form. He won a few tournaments, and then he promptly bombed at a Masters. This is considered a Masters. He just won the Jack Nicklaus tournament, I believe, a week or so ago. Can we say that he's looking better? He's progressing, or is it just okay? Well, it's just he's getting lucky, or what? What about Tiger has got his concentration back and his preparedness back for this Masters, Jerry?
Well, I think this is what you're going to get. You're going to get a good Tiger and a bad Tiger. You never know what you're going to get. He's trying to put two tournaments back to back. But I think this inconsistent play of Tiger is going to continue because Tiger isn't doing what he normally been doing. When he was consistent, when he was on top of the world, when he was relaxed and focused, is when he was getting his freak on. He's not doing that now. He's changed his ways and has changed his whole game. So you're going to get a consistent Tiger, in my opinion. Right now you have Tiger's on a nice flow, that flow can change. We've seen Tiger implode right within the tournament. So you never know what you're going to get with Tiger right now, like you did in the past.
Okay. I mean, I agree with you. I believe he's going to be inconsistent, but hopefully – he can pull this Masters out. But what do you think, Mike? Because I know with Tiger in the lead heading into day three, possibly with the lead going into the final round, you know, the TV ratings go up and people become more interested in it. So is it, do you think he's inconsistent, and or do you think he's going to find a way to pull people back into the sport?
He's always going to have that pull because no one in golf has a pull like Tiger does. You know, it's just not going to happen. You know, as far as him being up and down, I just think that, you know, I just chalk that up to life. You know what I mean? There's no doubt in my mind that he's going to win a few more. I don't know how many, but he's gonna win a few more just because of he is who he is. He's a champion. You know, he's a winner. I kind of agree with Jerry, but I kind of don't, because he was getting it in when he was getting his freak on, but
he was.
I still respect that man's talent.
When
he was going through a whole lot, you know what I'm saying? I was like, okay, it's gonna take him a minute. He got to digest all that stuff to get himself back together. And I think now he's gotten himself back together. I think you're gonna have some ups and some downs. I'm not comfortable with him just going in at the top already. I like to kind of see him, you know, probably second or third, and then, you know, he just strikes at the end and takes it. That's kind of the way I see Tiger better. But I don't know, man. I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to be fine. And everybody will come and watch him and ooh and ah over him and stuff like that.
Okay. Well, I think Tiger Woods is probably on an upswing right now, but I agree with Jerry as far as inconsistency goes. And I said this when it first came out, you know, that he was, you know, stepping out on his wife and stuff like that, that, you know, he wasn't going to be the same because he had that mental pressure of trying to keep everything straight. Now he's so relaxed. It's like, oh, well, whatever. It's like, and I hate to use this analogy, but it's true. It's just like someone being so stressed out because there's a perfectionist trying to get things right. As soon as they take a hit of weed or a joint or whatever, it's just like, oh, well, whatever. And I mean, it's an equivalent to him taking a drug of some sort and relaxing. And it's not a good thing. But we'll see what happens. We've got two more rounds to go. He made the cut on the first one. The world's number one did not make the cut, which was interesting. So we'll see what happens. Tiger's got a long way to go, along with Furyk and all those other guys. We'll see what happens. Good luck, Tiger, if you're out there listening. Let's transition to one of the best sports in the world before we get to the NBA Finals. Well, actually, we got two things we're going to talk about before we get to the NBA Finals. One is Big Ben and OTAs. Now, I know we talked about this early on in the year when Todd Haley went to the Steelers, and I asked the question, you know, how do you think Ben will get along with Haley, whatever. And now, you know, that's been the big hot-button topic for the Steelers other than Mike Wallace. Here's Big Ben on getting sacked and, you know, what's happening with him and his new pass protection.
I'm not super worried about it. You know, I'm not going to change the style of game that I play because so far it's worked pretty well. I'm just going to go out and play the game, and I play every play like it's my last because you never know when it might be. But, you know, people make such a big – I should say media, people outside of the Steelers make such a big deal about, you know, me taking hits. But, you know, I don't ever put any pressure on my line because just as many of the sacks are my fault as they are anybody. So – you know, we just play the game and go out and try and win, and if I get hit, I get hit. I'll be all right.
So Mr. Haley has put in pretty much something that's really basic for any quarterback, where the running backs chip the DN or whoever before they go out on their route. And it's supposed to give Ben just a little bit more time Hey.
We keeping you up?
No. I'm sorry. It's had a long day. And he chips the ends and some other folks and gives him a little bit more time so he can get the ball out of his hands. But like Ben said, he's trying to make plays. He's going to keep the ball in his hands. He's not going to change his style of play. That might spell a shorter career for him because he's got a young offensive line in front of him. But Todd Haley's put a system in that's not that different from what he was working with, except for a few things. Jerry, you were very opinionated when we last talked about the two. So what do you have to say at this point?
My opinion doesn't change. Todd Haley is a bomb waiting to go off. He may be calm and collected during OTAs or mini camps or whatever, but in the heat of the battle, Todd Haley's adrenaline starts flowing, and his mouth does the same thing. It starts flowing, and he's not afraid to express his opinion, whether it's positively or negatively, and a lot of times it's negatively toward his quarterback or his wide receivers. So Big Ben, they may be, in quotes, getting along now. Wait until the first problem in a game that he doesn't like his quarterback doing, running and instead of saying in the pocketbook and running the play exactly how he called it. Then you'll see the fireworks. Then you'll see Mike Tomlin getting in between Todd Haley and Big Ben, and then Mike Tomlin trying to put a spin on the conflict between his offensive coordinator and his quarterback. There's already been talk that Mike Tomlin wasn't too sure about how the offense was being run. I don't know if you got those comments anywhere, Vic, but Mike Tomlin also had a slight, I wouldn't say hiccup, but he was he was a little sketchy on how things were running in the offense.
And he should be.
Right.
He should be. You know, I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
It's okay. Go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
All I was going to say was, you know, Ben is getting into, he's turning 30 soon, and he's getting comfortable as a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I'm more of the opinion when you have I would consider him an elite quarterback. He's in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
That has produced, and the things that he's done has worked. So why, you know, try to, you know, fit a round peg into a square hole?
Right.
You know what I mean? Play the game the way he, you know, that's good for him, and not, you know, not so much your system. You know what I mean? And I just think that, you know, with him getting into his 30s and getting comfortable as a quarterback, he's getting into the better years of his career now. I think that yeah, Tomlin should be very concerned. He should be very, very concerned, because if this guy has him doing certain things that, you know, that's not conducive for Ben, you know what I mean, then he's going to have a big problem. He's going to have a humongous problem.
Well, I mean, I only put the subject matter up because, again, you've got an offense that's going into the season without its number one running back, possibly for the whole year. They got a receiver that's very unhappy and wants to be paid. And then next year you have two other receivers that are going to want to be paid. And you have Jericho Cotchery there. And you have a brand-new offensive line. So, you know, the outlook for Pittsburgh is not looking too good. You know, even if they get Mike Wallace back in, nobody's going to be afraid of their running game, because Isaac Redman hasn't proven that he's going to do anything. The Steelers didn't go out and get anybody. So, new system and all. I mean, I think Ty Haley might be a fall guy just for this year. I'm going to be honest. I'm looking at it from the point of everything on the offense is either new or in turmoil, and you bring in a controversial offensive coordinator who has been known to light a fire, so to speak, under everybody that comes in his path, you know, regardless of who it is. I think that there's an issue there that could cost him just a one, he'll be a one-year wonder for Pittsburgh, and all the issues that happen on that team, whether they're his or not, are going to, you know, fall on his shoulders. Again, no returning running back.
He better keep Ben happy. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, yeah, yeah.
He better
agreed.
Keep Ben happy because
but in order to keep him happy, they got to win. They got to
right,
win.
Right. He's got to keep Ben happy.
Well,
you know, because he's the outsider now. He's the outsider.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't understand is you bring Todd Haley, who's a passing type of offensive coordinator, when they stated last year at the end of the year that they wanted to get back to the Steeler way, which is running the football. And so that's like just like Mikhail was saying, trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. It doesn't compute. Why would you bring in an offensive coordinator that has a different philosophy than what you're trying to do? That's only a recipe for a disaster. And I see this not working out. I really see problems with Haley and Mike Tomlin and the quarterback. And Mike Tomlin jumping in between both of those two because of the problems Haley's going to cause because of the way he runs the offense. So,
well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I don't know exactly what will take place, but I think it's going to be a very interesting preseason, postseason. I mean, preseason and regular season for the Steelers. I wanted to ask about the Hard Knocks going to Miami, but I'm going to skip that for this week. I want to ask the question about NCAA football going to this top four system, and they've agreed upon it. It's just they have not agreed upon how they want to implement it. Now, some say that a polling system should be done, whereas they take the USA Today poll along with a group of pollsters or whatever you call them, and decide. Some say let the coaches decide who the top four are going to be. Some say let the computers decide who the top four should be, along with the USA Today, and make the tie breaks and whatnot. But some conferences, including the Big Ten, say no, they don't like it that way. Just keep it as is. Well, if they keep it as is, you know, the SEC is going to have maybe one to two teams automatically in the top four. Automatically. Okay? Then you look at, will it be the Big Ten, will it be the Big 12, the ACC, or the Big East to get those other two slots? Now, what do you guys say should be the method to determine the top four teams in the country if the records are tied, and you can't have, if you have like two or three undefeated or all everybody with one loss? How do you guys look at it?
Mike,
well, I was going to have Mike go first, but you can go first, Jerry. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Go ahead, Mike.
No, you go ahead.
Well, the only fair way I can see it, and I mean, you guys are probably going to disagree, but this is what I'm thinking. If you have all things equal, as in a record, I would go with the strength of schedule. Who had the toughest schedule to get to where they're at?
That's what I'm saying. You would have two SEC teams in there, regardless. Then,
well, not necessarily, because regardless of who the other two teams are, you can have. Teams
Boise would still never be in there, even if they had a 13-0 record. They would never be in there because the strength of schedule is so weak.
Well, they're now moving to the Big East, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct,
so,
and they're still going to have a weak schedule.
They're going to be playing different teams now. who's to say that the level of play of the teams that they're playing, for Boise, for instance, it's not going to be one of the top strength of schedules in the country. I don't know any other way to do it. If you leave it to the NCAA, it's going to be biased. If you leave it to the coaches, it's going to be biased. I don't know any other way to do it other than the strength of schedule, unless someone else, either you or Mikhail, can enlighten me. Talk to me, Mikhail.
I got nothing. I mean, the strength of schedule, you know, by far is the best common sense approach. Do it. But you know how I feel about the NCAA. I think they need to switch that, the whole thing to a playoff system, man. For real.
Well, that's what they're talking about doing now, and I'm about to explain.
They've been talking about doing it for the past 10 years.
Oh no. This. After you finish, I was going to tell you exactly what they came up with. It's just how they're going to determine the teams is the big issue. They were going to use the Rose Bowl, all the major bowls, the four major bowls, as playoff games, and but that would lead to believe that they're going to use. That's how they're going to determine the conferences. You know, the Big 12 plays. I forget who they play and what bowl they play in. I think they play. The Big 12 plays the Orange Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. They play like the ACC champion in the Orange Bowl or something. So the Orange Bowl, the Rose Bowl, which is the Pac-10 and the Big 10.
Right.
Then you've got SEC. They have their own championship, and they what bowl does the SEC representative normally go to? I think it's the Sugar Bowl.
Right.
Yeah, it's the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah.
And then it's another bowl. It's not the Cotton Bowl. It's just another bowl they're talking about doing, and the winners of those would be considered the top four teams. See, they've already, you know, X out, you know, the independents, unless you're independent like Notre Dame, who goes to a big bowl and wins that bowl game, and then they have the extra two games, which are the logistics part. Are they going to become home games for the higher-ranked team, or will they become, you know, one of the other bowls, meaning you're going to play two bowl games in 2 weeks? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole schedule, whereas normally you play one bowl game and then you're done. But they're talking about, okay, well, you'll play a bowl game in December, right? Then you'll come back, and at the end of December, you'll play another bowl game. And then the national championship is like January 5th or whatever it is normally is, and that's the way they'll work it. So it's a playoff system in the respect of you're going to be playing bowl games as playoff games, and the problem
like
is
a bowl tournament.
Yeah, but the problem that they're running into is having their fans follow them to these different places to play. So let's say the Pac-10 and the Pac-12 and the Big Ten play in a Rose Bowl. Okay, they normally got money for that, but then you're gonna that means you're gonna have to move the Rose Bowl to an earlier date, right? So that says, okay, well, around Christmas time, you got to have the Rose Bowl or somewhere in that area so that you can get them ready to play another playoff game later on. The system is going to be pushed down. Those bowl games that happen at the beginning of the year are going to be pushed down maybe a week or two to the middle of January. So it'll be going right into the heart of the NFL playoffs. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
Then it becomes, okay, this kid just paid $50 or $100 to go to Pasadena to watch them play, and now we got to pay another, let's say, $100, $150 to go to the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans, and then they got the national championship game in Florida. So that's another $200. I'm just saying that could be a thing. But that's the logistical part that they're having problems with, because they figured out how they want to do it. It's just getting these fans to go to the games. You can't keep asking them to spend all that money, especially during that time of the season. But what do you guys think?
I got nothing.
Yeah, I got nothing. I mean, I'm just sick. I'm sick of the whole thing, man. They should have been had this stuff together. I'm sick of the whole thing. I just want to see a playoff, and I want to know who the best college team in America is. That's what I want to know.
I do too, but then it becomes the issue of, okay, can we make it a home game for this team, that team, or, you know, I mean, that would make sense to me. If they're using the polls and the coaches' poll to decide, you know, the top 25 during the year, okay, if they're going to do their playoff, the top-ranked team plays the lowest ranking of the four at home, have another home game, and then, you know, they meet at the – they play whoever in the national championship game, wherever. That would make more sense to me because that's the way they do it in Division Two. Or Division Three, whatever one it is, and it makes sense. But again, they're trying to make money and make sure that the bowl system maintains its prevalence and its presence. We got a call from the 301. I'm gonna bring on real quick. They've been holding on for quite some time, so I want to hear their thoughts. Call us from the 301. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Politics. Please state your name.
It's the Boogie Monster.
What's up, Black?
What's going on?
This is your area of expertise.
I've been on hold for 3 hours.
Shut up, dude. We've been talking. So talk to me. What do you think, and what do you see happening in this four-playoff team setting?
I see nothing happening. It's all talk and speculation right now. They still got to figure this thing out.
Well,
they have agreed on it, though.
You got a solution.
They agreed in principle. Everybody agreed in principle except the Big Ten.
Correct, because they wanted to keep it the way it is.
Yeah, so therefore, it's nothing right now.
Okay. Well, Jerry just asked, what would you do then?
What would I do?
Yeah.
I'd probably go over the top 16 out of the top 25, and I'd go with the playoff structure there. Whoever's ranked in the top 16 at the end of the season, keep the bowls intact like how they are, but just we'll roll with the top 16 teams and go from there.
But how would you – because, again, the logistical part is, okay, you keep the bowl system in place. That means you're going to be playing 2 to 3 bowl games, and some of these other teams that normally get a bowl, they wouldn't get a bowl anymore because these top
They would get a bowl. Their bowl wouldn't matter. They'd get a bowl.
Okay.
Their bowl wouldn't matter anymore.
So that means
like some
bowls.
Of them, like the Insight Bowl and the Outback Bowl. So
yeah.
Those bowls will still be going on, but they just wouldn't have as much relevance.
So here's my question to you then. Okay, if that's the case and everything stays the way it is, right, the national championship game, it fluctuates from different venues, okay? But we know the Sugar Bowl is SEC versus somebody, and then, you know, the Rose is the Pac-16 or the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. So what are your top 8 bowls? And let's say we'll use the Sugar Bowl as a championship game this upcoming year. I know it's not, but let's say that it is. So that means what are the 7 other bowls or 8 other bowls that you're going to use for these top 16 teams?
What you got? The Sugar Bowl, the Gator Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Yeah, the big name traditional bowls you would use for that process. The top 8.
Okay.
I can't name them all.
Okay. So then how would you determine your top 16? Would you leave it up to the end-of-year polling like they do now, or would you get a panel
I wouldn't get a panel like the BCS, no. It would be the combination of the USA Today and the AP polls, and then I would take a poll of the coaches.
Okay. So the popular – well – What about the fans? Do the fans get opportunity? Because
the fans continue what they're doing, getting hoard at the ticket gate.
Oh my God!
They would not have a say.
Okay, but does every bowl stay the date that it is now? Because that's part of the problem. If you do that, you're going to be playing 3 or 4 bowl games, and your fans are going to have to travel.
No, the dates will change. The dates will have to change.
Okay. Well, I mean, the Rose Bowl can't change so much because it's coinciding with the parade, the Rose first of the year parade, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember the actual day, but.
Well, they're going to have to figure out something. This is what they wanted. They've been crying for a playoff. Now it's in place. They're going to have to make the necessary adjustments.
Okay. I mean, look, ladies and gentlemen, I can agree with Black, you know, leave everything as is and just have those top 16 teams. I think that's the fairest thing because in that scenario, you keep the Boise States. You keep the TCUs who actually is getting sued by the Big East right now for committing and then leaving. You get the teams that are, you know, they're good teams, but people say, well, like Houston. You know, Houston was undefeated last year, and I think they even won their bowl game, if I'm not mistaken, but they still weren't recognized, you know, because they were in the independent bowl or whatever it was. I don't know what bowl game it was in. But, you know, they could have gone against some better talent in a better game and proved that they could beat them.
No, they would have got slaughtered.
I don't know, dude. But just for the record, I'm going to say this for the record. Boise State going to the Big East is a big mistake for the Big East. Because without Kellen Clemens and some top-notch talent, Boise State isn't going to be the same type of team. So Boise State cashed in and capitalized on their previous years going to the Big East. I just want to point that out. But we're going to move because we have, 9 minutes left of live air, and I want to get into the NBA playoffs. But first, before I get to that, let's talk about David Stern and Jim Rome. Now, I posted an article about David Stern going gangster on Jim Rome, asking him, you know, does he still beat his wife? And that was predicated upon a conversation about Rome asking about referees and stuff like that. Basically, I get what David Stern was saying. David Stern was saying, you know what? You're going to ask me about something that I don't think is going on, so I'm going to hit you back with something that's not going on and see how you respond to it. So I get it. But the behavior of a commissioner, someone that's in charge of a organization, a multi-billion-dollar organization, should not come across like that. I know Jerry and Mac talked about it last night briefly, but talk to me, Jerry, real quickly about what you think about that situation and how it should have gone down.
Well, the in my opinion, the commissioner should have just said what he first said. No. He asked him whether it's a conspiracy, and he said no. And then he should have expounded on that there were several players in the room when the positions of the draft were drawn that would support that there was no conspiracy, rather than take that tact or take that statement and say, when did you start beating your wife or whatever he said. I understand it. And on Thursday, Jeff alluded to why he said that and what it really meant. But for a commissioner to come out and say it like that and a lot of people not understanding what he was actually saying and what the meaning of it was, I had said it before, and I'll say it again. I have never heard a commissioner come out like that. David Stern, it's not the first time he's done it, and it probably won't be the last. No commissioner should come out like that, in my opinion. So,
I agree. Black.
Yeah, we touched on this Thursday as well. The commissioner's gangster. I love him for what he did to Ron. That's my guy now. I know I railed against him, but I like Commissioner Stern now. I've had a change of heart.
Good. Oh, loving a gangster. All right, Mike, what you got?
I'm from D.C. You know I love that gangster stuff.
Dirty thugs, man. Dirty thugs. All right, well, check this out. We got 5 minutes left of live there. So what we're going to do real quick is we're going to go to overtime briefly and talk about the NBA playoffs. because I got something I want to say about it. But I want to promo the shows coming up. Again, ladies and gentlemen, next Saturday, the 23rd and the 30th, I will not be here.
You'll
I will
be
not
route.
Be on the show. I'll be yes, I will be en route.
Back coming home.
To the U.S. of A.
Coming home.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And,
welcome home, kid.
Thank you, thank you. And Jerry will be hosting on next Saturday, and we're going to try to see what happens on the 30th. Not sure yet, but we'll find out.
So we'll have a real good show, guys. We'll have a real good show.
Oh, you know what?
Unlike the host we have now.
You know what? You're about to get muted. You're about to get muted. At any rate, so next Saturday, the show still will go on just without me, and you'll have the ATM holding it down, hopefully Black and my cousin.
Yes, I'll be live on location from the Goodman Coalition opening day next Saturday.
Okay.
All right, all right, all right. All right, all right, all right. You're going to learn today. So that's my Kevin Hart. Anyway.
Oh, boy.
On Sunday, this upcoming Sunday, the ATM is going to do the master plan. And what's happening on the master plan, ATM?
Well, I'm going to talk about a few things. I'm going to expound some more on the commissioner and the bounty case, for one. A little bit more on Floyd. And I got some other things in store that I want to bring up. So you just have to listen and see how crazy the master is going to get today, tomorrow.
All right, all right, all right. You'll learn today. Then on Tuesday, you got Compassion Bikini with Kim Fun. Kim's mad at me right now because I haven't been as corresponding as I usually am. But, again, I'm in the process of moving, so I'm not as free to do a lot of things that I used to do. But she's got a great show. Our top-rated show, hands down.
You better take care of that. You don't want the bad feng shui coming your way.
Hey, dog, I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
I'm telling you, you got to come home soon, man. That your European way is killing you.
What? Shut up, dude. Anyway.
Come on, this joint to get you some collard greens.
There you go.
I'll be there on the 30th, Slim. Just don't bring it to the park. Can't bring it in the park. Kim's going to have her great program, Compassion Bikini, 4:30 Eastern Standard Time. Is it 4?
4 o'clock.
Standard time. Yeah, thank you. 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 1 o'clock Pacific Time. And, again, she's going with the hearts and minds of the youth and the women. Great show, always getting a great crowd. Then on Thursday, Black, Jeff, and Jerry will have FSP Crew Show. What's coming on the show this Thursday, Black?
Hopefully we can still talk NBA Finals. I hope it's not over by then.
Well, we're going to get into that in a minute because I think it's going to be over, and we'll get into it. But hopefully we'll talk about that. If not, we'll gear up some baseball because we didn't get to baseball today. But Jerry's going to learn today. He's going to learn today.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk a little bit of NFL. By the way, again, starting July 7th, we will be breaking down the NFL divisions. We're going to start off with the AFC West and AFC North. That's July 7th. You're ready for that, ladies and gentlemen? We're going to have some fun. Get your fantasy books and everything, because every time we do this, Jerry comes some, like, so somebody can't do something, and I always come back at them, and they can do it, and I always accept that. You know how that is. All right.
But I dropped the knowledge, and it pans out, so.
It does. You also dropped that cash. That's why I call you the ATM.
Ain't happening.
It will happen. And my cousin with his show, Grown Soul and Real Talk, on Wednesdays, what's happening on his show, cuz, real quick?
Last week, we was talking about how you go from being a jump-off to being married. So.
Oh, my God.
To being a jump off to getting to being married.
Uh huh.
Are you continuing that or is that just one show?
That was the show last week. You get that on the archives right now.
Okay. I gotta hear this one
right now.
All right, jump off to being married. Grown So Real Talk every Wednesday at 8:30 Eastern Time here on Blog Talk Radio. Check them out. And I believe we got a caller from the internet, so I'm going to try to get this person on real quick. And then we're going to talk about the NBA Finals. Caller from the internet, please state your name. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics.
This is Kim Fun with the Compassion Bikini.
I just woke her up. Didn't I just
pick
her up?
Call out.
Excellent.
For somebody who, you know, forget about the Asian sister, I thought it was our time before we just start talking NBA? Basketball?
Yes, NBA. Please. NBA, Kim. Kim.
Just thinking just to see how you all doing, and, you know, and tomorrow's Father's Day, so all you fathers out there, I wish you a happy, happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you, Kim. Thank appreciate
you,
Kim. It.
You know I was just talking about you, right?
No, you didn't. Did you really?
Yes, I was. I was just talking about you, saying how mad you were at me. But anyway, thanks for sitting
in. I'm so mad at you because I had a birthday party and I wanted you there, but you didn't show up, so it's okay, you know, it's all right.
Oh, boy.
It wasn't my fault.
Well, let me tell you something, Vic. When a woman says it's okay, you know it's not.
I know.
No, it's not.
No,
I know.
To make it up for me. All you gentlemen have to make it up for me. You know what my dream and my wish is. So I'm just throwing it out there, you know. Hopefully you all make it come true for me. You
well,
don't have to show up for me. But hopefully we could all go out and see each other someday when I go back to the States. So.
Well, Kim, you know, that's Michael's department. Mike Reich, his department is to get Oprah. I don't know. I told you he could probably get Stedman. I don't know if he's going to get Oprah, but he's working on it, right, Black?
Getting the Oprah?
Yeah.
Well, Kim, when
Black sounds kind of confused there for a minute there, Mr.
Yeah,
Kim,
confused, dude. What's
Kim,
up?
Kim, when is it in the future of you coming back to the States?
When I get an invitation from the own network. Have you been to me? Listening to my show, by the way, you see,
yes,
I have been, what people have been saying. I have a like really good guest, really, really good, amazing people who are changing the world, amazing people.
I know.
So I'm just throwing it out there, you know. I figured, hey, I'm just gonna call in and, you know, say a little thing about my show, you know, and hopefully you'll hear it and get chance to listen to the archive, and Mr. Black will bring me Ms. Oprah herself. That would be awesome.
Wow.
Tim,
no pressure,
already,
no pressure.
Tim, already, I've been promoting your show every week. I promise I have. I promise I have. No lies.
Same here.
We all do. We all do. But, okay, now listen. We got to get into the NBA finals. Stick around. I got you on here already. So you can chime in whenever you want. But here's what I want to talk about real quick. The NBA Finals happened. Game 1 and Game 2 just happened this past week. Game 3 happens this Sunday. Now, here's my issue here. OKC could have and should have won Game number 2. Game number 1, the Heat came out, and I got a quote from Dwayne Wade saying that they treated them just like the Celtics, so they weren't getting back, and they weren't doing this, that, and the third defensively. So, you know, it was a fill-out game for them, and, okay, they beat them. But the Heat then came back and won Game 2. Now, the Heat came out on fire. They came out on fire, and they should have did a lot of good stuff. In the first quarter, they had, like, a double-digit lead, I believe, 10-15-point lead in the first quarter. And then OKC started to chip away. Here's my problem. OKC could have tied the game at the end of regulation with 6 seconds left and possibly taken the lead if Kevin Durant would have drove all the way to the basket and did a layup or a dunk as opposed to stopping and pulling up for a jump shot. Now, I'm not going to get the ticky-tack foul on LeBron, because even Kevin Durant was like, man, I should have made the shot. People kept asking him about was he fouled. People kept saying he was fouled. And, yes, he was, but he said, no, I should have made the shot. So he didn't take any excuses. My point being, that this is something that Charles Barkley said a long time ago. OKC does not go to the basket. They shoot a lot of jumpers. On that play, he had more than enough time to drive to the bucket and put it up off the glass or go for the dunk. And at worst, if he gets fouled, shoot two free throws. But that's not what happened. Now, they're going down to Miami. They got to take three games in Miami to win the championship. They might take two. I hope they take all three. I think the issue with, you know, yelling at Westbrook, that's not the case. It wasn't Westbrook's fault they lost. It's the fact that they didn't drive to the hole, and Perkins, when he was in the hole, he missed some easy layups. Chris Bosh is a different animal, and the Heat are a different animal when Chris Bosh is in there because he gives them a outside/inside presence under the basket. OKC has to compensate for that if they have any hopes of winning this championship. I do not believe this is going to seven games. I believe it may go to six. It may go to six, but I see OKC winning it regardless. But my beef is they need to go to the bucket more and stop taking these silly-ass jump shots. I mean, they can make them, yeah, but dribble, penetrate, and go through. That's what LeBron James did. He only took one or two jump shots the entire game. Take a note out of that playbook right there. OKC, drive to the bucket, get to the free throw line. He went 12 for 12. Maybe y'all need to do that
confused.
Too.
I'm confused. I know this is your show, but I'm real confused. Why are you going at OKC?
Why am I going to OKC?
Because
they
lost?
Because of the way they lost, Michael. Not the fact that they lost. It's the way they lost. It was they thought they were on cruise control because they beat them the first time.
They thought they were on cruise control?
Because they came out lackadaisical. Listen, I mean, you can look at the tape. You can look at the games. They came out lackadaisical, let the Heat impose their will, and then they
I saw a point guard that was OC that didn't get any of his players involved until midway through the first and second quarter.
Because he was driving the ball. I seen him driving all the time, even when he was supposed to be he was driving.
No, but it's not just him that needs to do that, though. You know, I understand he was trying to, you know, take control of the game, do whatever, and he got a lot of criticism for it. We're talking about Westbrook right now, but everybody else was shooting jump shots. Everybody else was just standing there and taking like a 10-15 footer. He was the only one driving in, and that's the point, that he cannot be the only one driving in. Everybody else, Kevin Durant, 6'8", 6'9", got it. Go down there, use that body. Him and Chris Bosh, that's a good matchup, even though they put LeBron on him. But you get down there and do your thing. Go ahead.
I really thought that OKC just played their game. You know, they got beat. You know, it was just that one last shot. I thought that KD should have went harder to the hole on that one.
Correct.
But, you know, he's been making shots like that all year, you know, with people elbowing him and fisting him in the stomach. But, that's no excuse. And he gave no excuse, so that's why I respect him. But to say that they was on cruise control, that's the way they play. They will spot you 10, 15 points and come back and murder you in the end of the game, and that's what happened.
But that's what
I'm saying.
What I'm saying is, it shouldn't be. Kevin Durant has made 44% of all of his points in the fourth quarter. It shouldn't be that way. It should be a good distribution through the entire game, so that you don't have to worry about battling. You don't have.
They need to stick with their identity, Slim.
I know. I got you. What I'm saying is, if they can play a complete game and don't take a quarter or whatever off, whether it's Westbrook or whoever, you know, if they play a complete game, they will blow out the Heat. They will absolutely demolish the Heat. And they did it against, who did they play in the Spurs? They did it against the Spurs, where they played a complete game and totally blew the Spurs out by 20 points. They
you know
whole
what?
Game.
You know what? I'm gonna disagree with you. I thought they did play a whole game. They just played their game. I think the thing that they have to figure out is it's just mental with the Heat, and I am directly talking to Shebron about Shebron. The thing of it is they have to really, you know, get into that little boy's head. They really need to get into his head. And I think that they haven't been doing that part. But I'm not upset with them. I thought that was a hell of a game. I'm not upset with them at all.
Okay.
At all.
All right. I mean, we different. I didn't have no money on it, but I'm just saying,
Sounds like you have cash, cold hard cash on it. That's what it sounds like to me.
So tell me what you saw, Black. Tell me what you saw.
I saw Oklahoma in that typical style of just getting behind early and making a good run. That was a good basketball game. I don't care what anybody said. That was definitely a good basketball game.
That was like one of the best basketball games I've seen in a good long time.
Yes, in a good while. Oklahoma, they're a jump shooting team. It's kind of too late for them to try to change their identity. They're fine playing their way of basketball, but you need Westbrook to get some distribution out there. I understand he wants to take it to the hole, but when you got Durant cooking and you got Harden cooking, get those guys the ball.
Don't try to play hero ball. You got to get them the
ball.
Yeah.
Right. Harden had, what, almost 20 in the first half and hardly saw the ball in the second half.
Okay. I got you. All right, ATM, you're the elder statesman.
Oh, is it my turn? Can I say something here?
Go ahead, Kim.
Sure, go ahead, Kim.
I used to be a stat girl for basketball, and can it be also the reason, like, people don't go inside is because of all the fouls that is, you know, of all the elbowing and the stomach and then might landing the wrong way, and, you know, you could get injured. Wouldn't it be better just to take a shot from the outside? And then you don't have so much of a chance of getting fouled out when the game is getting close. That's just one thing that I just throw it in there.
I got you, but at the same time, Kim, you have a better chance of making a shot when you go closer to the basket. The further away from the basket, the more difficult the percentage goes up at missing the shot. So,
that is correct. But basketball players, they have big egos, right? So they know, like, hey, man, I could shoot it from here, and it's a, you know, I'm clear and I'm free. I could do it. And then so they did it. So, you know, maybe it's the whole confidence that they know that they could do it. So they do it. But when maybe, like, when you're in the game, you go with the momentum. You go with the energy of the game. So if they're pushing you, then you're going to have to push harder. If they're, you know, some people, when the game gets really intense, you know, human nature tends to do two things, either to go harder or step back. So it depends on the psychology of the player during that time.
That's the thing. But see, that's the thing. When you're taking it to the hole, you're being more aggressive and you're making things happen because two things can happen. You either make the shot or you get a foul. You'll cause more, you know, you're being aggressive. And when you're the aggressor more so, you're taking control of the game. When you step back and make, you know, and shoot the jumper, you know, you're relying on more percentages. You know what I mean? And, you know, you can have an off night with jumpers quickly.
Right.
You know, one night you can come out and shoot 70%, lights out every time he touched the ball, you know, buckets. And then another night you're shooting up bricks and air balls.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I think the OKC Thunder, Oklahoma City Thunder, need to go more to the basket. But, again, I mean, I understand it's in their makeup to be a jump shooting team, but at the same time, you know, like Black said, Harden had 20-something points in the first quarter and didn't see it that much in a second. But you got to give people the ball in a position where they're closer to the basket to make a shot. But I got to move to Jerry real quick in reference to what it is he feels he saw and what he thinks needs to take place.
Well, I saw OKC, and they're a young team. They didn't come out, in my opinion, with the same fire and intensity that they should have early in the game. Now, this has become a trend. Three games in a row, they've fallen back behind their opponent and then made a furious comeback. Two of the games they won, this game they happen to lose. Calls that could have gone either way went the opposite way of OKC, and they were on the short end. Just like this is a young team, just like told you earlier when they were playing the Spurs, they are a sponge. They learn from this. They'll be tougher. They'll be tougher for this, and I guarantee the intensity and what they come out with the first game in Miami, and probably the rest of the playoffs, because they know that if they decided to not come out like they should have came out, this is what's going to happen. Scotty Brooks, I still keep on saying it, is a very underrated coach. Is a hell of a motivator, perfect for this young team, and he's going to get them their mind straight along with Kevin Garnett and company. They're going to come out and they're going to hand it to Miami.
Kevin Durant.
No, they're going to hand it to they're going to hand it to Miami.
I know you said Kevin Garnett.
I'm sorry, Kevin Durant and company are going to hand it to Miami this next game. And I don't see this game. I think they're coming out of Miami as world champs. Let me put it that way.
I agree. I hope so.
What format are they playing in?
2-3-2.
2-3-2. So is they either going to win in Miami, or they're going to lose it in Miami, or they're going to have one game at home to win it.
Miami's best shot. And they were desperate because they know if they lost to OKC in the second game, their chances were greatly diminished. OKC got Miami's best shot. I don't think they're gonna duplicate that the next few games. I don't think Miami is on the same level as OKC. So.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, listen up. Again, this upcoming Saturday, I will not be here. Jerry's got the helm, and I will not be on the 30th. Next time you hear my voice, it should be June 7th. July 7th from sunny California. So we're going to see what happens there. Again, I want to thank you all for listening to the show. I've got Jeff, Black, and Jerry hosting Fantasy Sports Politics Crew Show on Thursday. Sunday is the Master Plan with Jerry. Tuesday's Kim Fun, Compassion Bikini.
Tuesday night, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Tuesday afternoon at 4. I'm sorry. Don't chop suey me.
Oh boy.
What? I love Kim. Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, since Kim wants to go at the correct time. Tuesdays 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Kim's got Classic Bikini. My cousin with Grown Soul and Real Talk Wednesdays at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, doing what they do. Again, I want to thank Kim, Black, Jerry, and my cousin Mike. Y'all call him the Cow. I know that's what he wants to be called, but I'm calling my cousin, like Cousin Style from Jimmy Kimmel. I'm gonna call him Cousin Mike. That's what I'm gonna call him. But I want to thank everybody for listening to us. And keeping up with this. I'm sorry, I forgot one show. Every Friday, 7
yeah,
p.m.
I was gonna call you on it, but I was waiting.
My bad. Every Friday, 7 p.m., Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor with Note Chaser had a good show this past Friday, yesterday, and hope to keep up those types of shows and those types of numbers.
And
so,
Macau called in, too.
I noticed he was a listener. I didn't know he called in because I didn't listen to the whole thing. But I know you got
to come out. Yeah, I was waiting for him to jump out there. But I knew he had company, so I was on my good behavior.
Oh, just on your good behavior? Okay. Nah, don't be on your good behavior on that show. That's the show where you can curse and say whatever you want.
Absolutely, man. It's open season on that show.
Yeah, but I ain't want to embarrass him for his company.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Do what you do. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen. This whole family, I'm loving it, and I'm appreciative of everyone and everything you guys do. So, well, thank you again. Jerry, you know what you need to do.
Well, from Kim Fun, I'm going to mention her first, Macau, Black the Bookie, and myself, Vic is finally coming where he needs to be in the U.S. first East Coast Then the left coast, he's going to be a Northern California person. I don't know what's his worst, being where you're at or in Northern California.
Oh,
anyway.
He'll be fine. He'll be fine over there. As long as he's over here, I can send him some collard greens.
There you go.
And look, in Northern California, I can get to him there. I can have one of my folks from GSRC to go knock on his door and bring him a pot of collard greens.
Just bring me the ribs, Slim. Bring me the ribs. That's what I want. Go
now
ahead.
You need some greens.
From all of us, wish you a safe trip, and we'll be talking again on the 7th of July with Vic being the host. You've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy.